bodies, broken minds, broken spirits. Thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you are. In the name of Jesus Christ. I did need to make another announcement about Backpack, and that is, if you are interested in helping with Backpack, you need to meet. Who do they need to meet? Okay, they need to meet Sister Lisa Lewis. Where? In the Children's Church Auditorium, if you want to help with Backpack on Saturday, please meet Sister Lisa in the Children's Church Auditorium. And thank you so very much. Oh, meet as soon as church is over. Right, as soon as church is over. Yeah.
What an awesome opportunity for us to be involved in our city. The Bible said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. The most cordial opportunity for every one of us to display the Christian power and character is to do whatever we can, and particularly in organized efforts like this where various people are gathering together, certainly we need to be on location with a powerful testimony of God is with you. You don't have to say any more than that, just of God is with you. Now, right now, before we go any further, I want to pray a prayer. The X-ray of the Spirit is so much keener than the greatest X-ray technology of man. And the Spirit wants to do something in your life. And there is hidden behind our smiles and our nice clothes, hurts, disappointments, feelings of inadequacy. There are so many things that the enemy has tried to sow into your life. And I'm praying a corporate prayer. Some of you heard me pray this prayer over you individually, but the Spirit beckons me to pray it over everybody. So right now, I want us just to bow our head and close our eyes and let the pastor pray over this church and you be able to tell others, Father, I come against every spirit that does not confess that you are more attentive to the need of every person individually in this house than they are themselves. You are carefully concerned, and I want to come against every spirit that denies your concern. Just because we cannot see the hurt in your heart today doesn't mean your heart is not breaking for men and women, mothers and dads, families. I come against every spirit that would try to convince these people that you're not working 24/7 in behalf of their family, in their heart, their mind. I bring the blood of Jesus that was shed for that situation. I bring the name of Jesus that gives spiritual authority to that situation. I bring the preached word that is displayed weekly against every infirmity, against every incarceration. I come against it by the power of the resurrection that displays victory over every pain, every sorrow, every death, every deficit. I bring that power to mothers and dads, brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus, I pray your victory alive in this day for your glory. All over this building, let's exalt his name. We could never hear prayers like that if he had not ascended on high. Let's really praise him. I don't mean a little synthetic. I'm talking about praise him for that blood. Praise him for that work of the Spirit. This is no small idea that's happening here today. This is not humanity just gathering. Our souls, our thoughts are to become one with him today. Victory in Jesus. Victory by the blood. Victory by the name. Victory in the word. We are standing on hallowed and holy ground. Oh, hallelujah. A long time ago to show us that. And he lives daily right now interceding for everything going on in your life. Let that sink in. Don't let the sorrows and the junk take over your life. The only way we're going to get this world saved is to receive the word of the Lord. Receive the spirit of the truth. To receive the spirit of truth. To receive the spirit of truth. To receive the spirit of truth. Over and over and over and over. The spirit of truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. As you're seated and the ushers come right now, I cannot thank you for every prayer, everything you have done to make the future of this world look better. NAYC was just one of the contributing factors to the future of a generation that lives in darkness. Father, thank you for every dime, dollar, and penny. Thank you mainly for the love and faith that continually pours out finances to finance a cause that is so far beyond this world, so greater than what's going on in any area. I am asking you today to let it be double blessing to every mother and dad, every child, every mother, every father, and particularly those that work so faithfully in situations that are not conducive. Give them strength beyond words. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today as you give as unto the Lord. Again, it is an honor beyond words to represent the one who is in no wise overly embarrassed about the chaos his world is in. If anybody has a right to be embarrassed, God, who made the heaven and the earth, has a right to go hide in a corner. I'll tell you why he's not hiding today. He's fixing to display the greatest revival America and the world has ever seen. I'm his kid. I'm one of his delegates. I'm here to preach in a city, a localized area. And last week when I told you that in the 34 years I have lived here, that enough people have died in Lamar County to repopulate Paris, Texas, and I have not done more than I have done, I could go crawl in a corner. But I'm not, because I wasn't the one that's going to save this city. But I know that he is walking with me today, and I'm not embarrassed, because we have tried, we have preached, we have preached him, we have shared him, and his victory has been on display in this city at one time or another in front of everybody. They're the ones that's going to be embarrassed when they realize how close, listen to me, how close heaven walked to earth when Jesus was on earth. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him was all wisdom. In him was all knowledge. In him was power beyond anything this earth had ever seen. And they ignored him and treated him like a piece of wood. Who do you think's going to be embarrassed when they wind up in darkness forever and they look toward a holy city as did the rich man in hell, and they see that he, the one that they denied, the one that they stuck spears and swords in, the one that they made fun of? I wouldn't make fun of another apostolic service if I were you for nothing in the world. You talk about being embarrassed to turn down the greatest opportunity given to man to repent, be baptized in his name, with his spirit, and walk in the fullness of his glory. I'm not embarrassed today, because he ever liveth to make intercession today with whosoever will. Let him come. Whoever wants to, let him come. The drink the waters of life freely. I'm telling you, I'm not letting the devil bend me beneath the hell and headaches. We got back from one of the most glorious NAYCs. Walked in and one of my air conditioners wasn't working. The bus got hot on the way home. We sweated. But you think that denies anything? I'm telling you, when I was out in sin, I didn't have any hope. And I had all that kind of stuff happening. But now I have hope, because he lives inside of me. He lives in my brain by his word. He lives in my spirit by his spirit. It's not a feeling.
and we're going to get to it today, but I'm here to tell you, you are in charge of your world. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, you can have as much victory as you want, or you can live in a cave if you want to, but you're in charge of your world. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is the absolute from heaven. It is the absolute from the one who walked through hell and took the keys of life, death, hell, and the grave and said, I have overcome everything and I'm going to impart this spirit to whosoever will. Getting the Holy Ghost is not becoming Pentecostal. It's getting power to deliver you from every situation, every sting of hell, every situation you're going through. You're going to rise above it and lead others to victory. Let's praise him a little bit right now. Father, I thank you today again for your everlasting covenant. We deny any spirit to speak to our future but your spirit. We deny any thought to govern our activity level in any way if it's not by the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray that again over this church. Praise God. Time to turn up our faith, time to turn up our hearing of the Spirit. It is not a time to have less Bible study. It is a time to have more Bible study. It is not a time to quit worshiping. It is a time to quit listening to the spirit of this world that said, I'll give you. How many lies and how many times does things have to lie to us and tell us this will make your home happy, this will make your home full, this will make your home complete? And we have bought so much junk from this world, thin that new paint could take away the sin of the soul. It's not going to change things, friend. The only thing that can change everything is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all of our separation from victory. He is our victory. Let's move hurriedly today into the lesson and againness of his plan for our life. I promise you, you weren't an accident. Some of us could have been born into homes that were just had totally crazy parents. Don't say you were. Some of us could have been born in a city that didn't have any church like this. Some of us could have been born and never heard an apostolic message. Now, let me just tell you this. All you got to do is read the 10th chapter of Acts to understand that anybody's heart that gets as best as they know how to be, God will send an angel both to a preacher and to the sinner. It's in the book. I promise you, every situation is covered by the book. Cornelius looked like a Christian. But when you read the 11th chapter of Acts, and it says that God spoke to him and to Simon to get together so he could tell him how he and his household could be saved. And that's a man, the Bible said. Somebody say he did everything he knew to do. And when you know everything you need to know, I mean, when you do everything you heard about him, I promise you, if you don't have a preacher, God will send an angel and show you one. But it amazes me that God had him still go through the preacher. If God could speak to him and tell him to send men to Joppa to find a man, God could have told him the thing himself. But God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. That's a miracle message. That's enough to go home and chew the rest of the day. And we're not going to go over all of this stuff. I'm just going to remind you of it. Every message is designed to teach and empower. Somebody tell me what teaching is. I know Brian didn't go out that door for nothing the other day. Teaching is designed to put you in exposure to future. Preaching is designed to encourage you to get in it. Come into a faith that will actively empower. Can anybody read this? Somebody say divine spirits. How many of you's ever been angry before? Now, how many of you know that the Bible says be angry, but don't sin? If you were at the Valentine's banquet, you remember Brother Chargua helped us to understand that. Big deal. So anger is not always a sin in itself. It's what you do with it. And that's an iniquity. Okay? Reduce the powers of hell to their place in our world. Somebody say where that is. He hath put all things under his. And we did that last week. You remember that? How many of you meditated on it and practiced it this week? He said, I will bruise the head. He'll only bruise your heel. He shows you that even Jesus was bruised in his heel. So don't think you're going to escape pain or hurt, disappointment, or anything of that nature. You're going to get bruised up. But that's why this church has adopted Luke 4:18-19, that set at liberty them that are bruised. That's phenomenal stuff. So, the goal of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris is to teach what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John taught. And that is the virgin birth, the teachings of Christ, the wisdom of Christ against religious settings, and then the death. Somebody say, I'm going to give myself to this. First law of spirituality, the first law of the kingdom is dying out to self. None of us will get anywhere until flesh is overcome. And I don't care. You can say, well, 50% of my life goes to Jesus. No, no, no. He said, you're either for or against. You're either moving up or you're moving down. There is a direction your life is going, and it comes by choice of who you listen to, who you serve, and what you give to yourself to. And so backsliding is just simply trying to do it my way. That's take part of him, part of the world, and do what I want to do with either. Promise you, it's not going to work. And so the church of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris is designed to do what this scripture said, and I just quoted it to you. Mission of our church is to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're not saved because you get the Holy Ghost, but you'll be saved in the allowing that power. Somebody say, I've got a car, and it's got a motor, and I got a key, and I can get in it and start it. But I'm telling you, you can rev that motor up in your driveway and you're not going anywhere. You can brag on how beautiful you got it waxed. You can brag on how beautiful and clean you keep it. Till you put it in gear. Faith is the only thing that will take you down the road. You got to get truth in gear if you want to go somewhere. You got to get truth activated if you want to do something. That is impossible to please God without having faith. Faith is the connection between this wonderful power that is generated. I'd hate to think that I just revved up the engine at church and went home to live in defeat. I'd hate to think that I didn't ever put it in drive and say, I'm driving out of my sin. I'm driving out of my situation. I'm driving into my future. I'm driving into his glory. I'm not sitting in the storm. We pursue these actions daily, service to service. Somebody say it. Oh, come on, somebody. I'd hate to think the kids at Youth Congress did better than an adult class that's been sitting in class for years. Never giving up. If you don't participate any better than that with the Holy Ghost every day, you're going to have a troubled life. The resurrection or the empty tomb, the resurrection and the power that is associated. That's not just a cute picture which we herald in our minds and develop an emotional ecstasy and have just some infrequent child or children of our faith. The fruit of the word and the fruit of the spirit is the children you produce by the activity level. We don't think of them as children because they are not as the kids we're used to. But I promise you the fruit of the Spirit is a key in what you've been eating and what you produce. That's Galatians, the fifth chapter. And you can see, if you want to identify where you are, look at the works of the flesh, look at the fruit of the Spirit, and measure them. Don't get discouraged. I promise you, it is natural for this flesh to grow every one of those works. And that's why you just keep the sword of the Spirit with you always, and you chop off those junk things that are happening in your mind and spirit. I fight that stuff daily. Paul said he fought it daily. Jesus had to pray every day. If Jesus had to pray every day. And then the coming of the Holy Ghost, Acts the second chapter. We quoted that and dealt with it. There's your 34,000 plus in one building. And the devil tells us we're going to lose our kids. We're going to try to get a copy of the Vice President of the United States wrote one of the greatest letters. It's on Facebook somewhere. I'm not on Facebook, so I can't find it, but I encourage you to look for it. Vice President Pence wrote one of the greatest letters to NAYC. They read it on the last night. And in according to Siri, the Dome in St. Louis, 2 years from now, will host one of the greatest youth revivals again in the United Pentecostal Church, but not just the United Pentecostal Church, the world. It is amazing. Brother Jeremy, stand up and say if it was good or bad. Say it with some excitement if it was good. That's all. That's it. Don't get carried away. All right, this week begins the second week of this, and this is where we left off last Sunday, okay? So, but remember, if some of you can go back that far in your life, when future was so important that it produced an anticipated excitement. I want to ask you today, and this is part of a frame we'll get to, but I want you to be thinking about it. What truly produces your excitement to get up every day? Is it another dollar or another opportunity to see a demonstration of His Spirit in our life? That's not a question to hold you back. That is a question to open a door and tell you, you have not reached your future yet. For some people, their future was in the fact they got the Holy Ghost and they started a certain style of dress and they've ended it right there. And their pride level is that nobody else is as good as they are, or at least I'm better than I had to be. God hates every false way. His work is in the ambition or the excitement of faith. Faith is one of the most exciting things in the world. Unless we not get there, if you got a cell phone, anybody got a cell phone? Anybody got an iPad with you right now? If you got a cell phone, I want you to lift it up, would you? I want to remind you of a scripture right now. The Bible says that the children of this generation are wiser in their day than the children of light. Now, sometimes we don't understand that. Come here, bring your cell phone up here. I want to look in it and see what you've been looking at. Yeah, you parents, bring your cell phone up here. Let me see all those texts. He does. But this is the key. This is the reason I got your cell phone. Do you realize how small that thing is? Now, how many of you just basically don't go anywhere without it? Because didn't you hate it years ago when we had to stop and put a quarter in, and then they reduced it finally to a nickel? And the book said years ago, before the world ever started inventing things that would make things come closer together, You can call Europe. You can call any country in the world. Anywhere you are at with one of these things. Because they never stopped dreaming. They never quit believing that things could be better. Am I coming through? The children of this generation are wiser. This is God speaking. And now you are holding in your purse or hand the testimony that God gave us years ago. They're not going to stop growing. And now we have facilities that can literally distribute to you in days, sometimes one, sometimes 2 days. You can get from eBay something that you would take months at Sears Roebuck catalog. God's ahead of all of that. I wish somebody say he's ahead of all of it. He knew the genius of man is creation. And he has given us an absolute warehouse with an absolute catalog of showing us what is available. I would hate to think that an Old Testament person without the Holy Ghost could hear more from heaven than the New Testament person who is filled with the Holy Ghost can hear from heaven. When you read that book of Kings and you read those armies and wars that went on in the Old Testament, and there was a little girl that was alienated from her family, alienated from her surroundings, and she said to a man, Naaman, that's taught in every Sunday school class, I don't care if it's Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever it is, that story is told all across. We ought to be saluting the Baptists for keeping on teaching the Word. We ought to be saluting the Church of Christ for producing the Word. We didn't come up with all of the people that are wanting to be Christians, but there is a growth process, and we got in on a growth process on top of some stuff, and we did move forward, but it's no time for us to sit complacent in salt shakers and say, well, we're the salt of the earth, not on your life. That if the salt, not hallelujah, has lost its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? It is because we're going to get out, and we're going to have an anticipation today. I'm going to make my world better. I'm going to make my home better. I'm going to make my life better. They've made cell phones and they don't even have the Holy Ghost. I wish you'd turn to your mate right now and say, things are getting better in our home. You can just tell me, I can hear you from over there. That's right. Don't you buy those lies that things are going to get worse. The world is going to get worse. But things in your life are going to get better. That's if you're sowing the Word. That's if you're watering the Word. That's if you're living according to the Word. That's going to get better. He said it's going to consume the earth. It's going to consume everything going on. I want to live in the Word. Preacher, teach me the Word. Preach me the Word. Preach me out of myself and preach me into my future. I would hate to think that just because I have lived for God for over 50-something years that my life was getting boring, routine, and redundant. My wife's not going to drag me out of bed. My future drags me out of bed. That's no brag. It's just a brag on him. I'm telling you, he is faithful that he promised. Future was something we knew we had coming. I wish you'd say, I got a tomorrow. It may be in earth and it may be in heaven, but I've got a tomorrow. I wish you'd look at the devil somehow in your mind right now and tell him, I've got a tomorrow. I am in Christ a new creature. I am not of the earth earthy. I am of the heaven heavenlies. I've been born again. I walk uprightly in the Holy Ghost. I follow him every day. He is not a part-time God. He's a full-time future. How many of you really believe he's in heaven right now? How many of you really believe he conquered death, hell, and the grave? Then if you're following him, I got the news for you. You got a future. That's what Paul said when he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is better than that. I've got a future. I'm not going to drag around in a jailhouse. I'm going to give my praise to him because he delivered me from sin. He can deliver me from anything. I'm not going to live in hell because somebody don't like me. This was already on the books before NAYC. I don't have a clue what's coming on the horizon. Future was always greater than the present.
What did we used to call it? I'm getting ready. Brother Bob, you remember that one? I'm getting ready.
And somebody's trying to make this world our home. The world's trying to make this our future. This ain't my future, sweetheart. I'm going to take as many out of this world as I can. My future's on another world. It's on another plateau. It's what's happening in my soul today. I got a home in glory land that'll outshine the sun. I've got a home in glory land that'll... Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. We got to get back to preaching more about the second coming. We got to preach more about death ain't so bad after all. We got to understand that graveyard's not our future. I'm going through there some days, probably. But oh, Halabahanda, I got a home in glory land that'll outshine the sun. You're not making me a product of this world. You're not going to give me my hope according to society. My hope is in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Future is something we've always had to sacrifice past in order to become. You cannot imagine how many people just in our local assembly want me to preach like Jason, what was that guy's name? C.P. James, Jack, Jerry. No, Jack and Jill went up the hill, friend. I'm the new kid on the block with the same God, with the same future. Joel, quit preaching. Habakkuk, quit preaching. And along came Simon preaching another message. You shall receive power. They just told about that power. They just forecast a future. We got to walk in it. Woo! Let me tell you one thing, sweetheart. There's not a thought the devil can produce. There's not a thought your flesh can produce that can rival one scripture out of that book. I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ are the words of eternal life. Eternal life. I've got a future. I don't care how sick I look. I don't care how pitiful I look. I got a future because I'm hid with Christ in God. How many of you enjoy a few antiques? Why don't you use them? You just love seeing where we come from. I got some nice collections of memories, but I don't want to have to go back and relive the seventh grade. In the seventh grades where I had that Cushman motor scooter, somebody got the gas cap. I didn't have any money, but I had a ride. So I took my scooter on lunch and asked the permission to leave and go down the street. And I come back, and that gas had all sloshed up on me. You can see where. I sat down for about 5 minutes in the classroom, and I don't know if you've ever got gas on your secret parts or not, but it don't feel good after about an hour. I was like a person set on fire. I got used to the smell. But nobody around me got used to it. And I'm sitting in a seventh grade classroom, and I walk up to the teacher, and I said, "Ma'am, can I go to the restroom?" She said, "Please do." I didn't have all the conveniences of home, a regular wash rag with a bar of soap and a nice towel. I had to make do with what they had in that room, but I did what I had to do to get rid of the sting and the burn that was going on. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody was pleased when I got back. Mainly I was. I'm not going to go back and relive that. I learned a lesson about trying to do it my way. You and I have learned a lot of lessons, and we ought to learn that we cannot direct our own path. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the word of the Lord. I need the sufficiency of His grace. It is not within man to direct his own steps. That's out of the book. We ought to be able to by now to just learn whatever He says, do it. And water will turn into wine. That's what she said. Whatever He says, do it. And you'll turn the water into wine. You'll turn your disappointments into healing. You'll turn your situations into victory. Oh no, it don't all happen in a second. It just happens. I don't know how, but I know it happens. He's Lord over all, in all, through all, and in every one of us. No, you're not going to have Oak Street. You got to give up a wonder. I can tell you that any of these people could tell you about some times they had a historical meeting with God in a situation where there was no air. Everybody's sweating, the preacher included.
Matter of fact, I'm doing a little myself right now.
Some people, all they remember is a spot on the carpet when they leave church, and they forget that they were with the Messiah who could direct their paths. I promise you it's not about the building, and you know I like a nice one and I like it clean, but I'm here to tell you that's not my main agenda. My agenda is a clean heart, a clean brain, a glory cloud over every one of us, leading and guiding and teaching and empowering. That's what this is all about. It's not about how beautiful the church is. Let them do all that stuff down the street. We're here to see how beautiful the altar still is. We're still here to be how beautiful the blood is when it gets finished, washing us by the word and the Holy Ghost and fire and the glory of the Lamb slain. Future was worth.
I wish somebody would fight the fight of faith right now. Just stand up and praise God anyhow.
Hallelujah. Not because you feel like it, but because you know that faith is what got you this far. Faith is what's going to take you further. It's what's going to save our kids. Faith, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on your future.
You can be seated. We don't have time for a lot of that right now, but let me just say this to you. We older people are teaching our younger people how to fight when we in worship service don't feel like it. Worship service is a time to stir up the manifestation or the glory of the Lord and get the spirit level at a temperature while it will increase our future. He's looking. He's longing. Somebody say he's longing to display. I promise you, in this meeting right now, there's as much deliverance available as any meeting you were ever at Oak Street, Grove Street, or anywhere else that you may have attended church. I promise you, where the preaching of the word is, faith is being given the opportunity to rise up in the soul of somebody, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And when the faith of God gets right, I'm telling you, the devil don't have a Chinaman's chance. I'm telling you, the glory of miraculous
us is going to take place, and it starts in our own personal heart and mind. And once you get the victory, you're going to display the victory, and your kids are going to see the victory, and they're going to want to go worship and say, my God, I want the God of my mother. I want the God of my daddy. I want the God of my uncle. I want the God of my saints. I want that God working in my life. Worship is not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a prelude. It is a sacrifice. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, worship is a sacrifice. And it's the sacrifice we fight for. God, I'm bringing to you a sacrifice of praise. I'm bringing you a sacrifice out of this flesh. This flesh is never going to praise this world or anything this flesh has ever done more than the God of heaven who crawled in a grave and said, I'm taking every sting of death out, and every stinger's got to come out, because I've got some people that's going to go through the grave and they're not going to have to worry about dying because they're ever alive in me. My ministry to us today is our future has never been more important. Where we've been and where we came from is a great testimony. But where we're going tomorrow, please don't let the devil lie to you and tell you our testimonies of greatness are somewhere back yonder. Our testimonies of greatness are overcoming what's going on in a world where our politicians can't get along, where our city fathers can't get along, where teachers are teaching erroneous doctrines. Our greatest victory is going to come by turning a light on in the middle of darkness and saying, walk ye in the light. Here is the light. And we gladly afford you the light, because we thank God by humility, obedience, have found it. Our future defies description. Let's just look at the picture I showed you. How many of you ever went to youth camp when they didn't have air conditioners? What was it like, Sister Monica? Hot. I'll never forget. It was so hot that the kids could get the victory of the deans. Yeah. Somebody say outside sourcing. I promise you that's not what you need. I assure you eBay cannot afford you what the altar can. I assure you that tweeting the cutest tweets and having the most applause of flesh cannot give you the gratification of Jesus clapping his hands and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. No. I promise you, dress like them, talk like them, walk like them, act like them, all you want to. But I'm going to tell you, I want to walk like him, talk like him, act like him, because I want his future for me, and I'm going to teach about that for you. You can't outdress carnality. But when you get spiritual, you'll want to dress in a modest, temperate fashion, because there's just something about the spirit that makes you want to identify with the creator of the spirit. It's not wrong for preachers to preach it. I think it was just at Youth Congress. One of the preachers was saying to somebody in his church, said, are you going to work at some... let's use McDonald's. That wasn't what it was. But are you going to work at McDonald's dressed like that? Oh, no. I can't work like that. I got to wear their uniform. Have you ever diagnosed the word uniform? Everybody dresses alike? Ain't no hats over there that belong to... Where's Rusty? Oh, he's upstairs in the class. Where does Rusty work? Do they have McDonald's uniforms over there? Huh? Stand up, Scott. They wear McDonald's uniforms at Burger King. Does he wear a uniform? Isn't that amazing? Even the world wants you to identify with them. How many of you guys ever worked at B&W? Did y'all have to wear them uniforms like they wear out at KC or Kimberly Clark? No, I mean the soup. Brother Garen, You used to work for the soup. What'd you wear? You shorts and cutoffs? A hairnet. God, help us on a hairnet. And we get worried because a preacher wants to get us to testify into a world about what he did for us, dressing modest and holy and godly. No, 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 sweetheart. I'm never going to force you to do that. You're going to do it because you love him and you want to identify with his crowd. You want to look like something that come out of an altar where you sacrifice flesh. And you said, I'm going to live for the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live unto a holy God. Get it. I'll dress like I want to dress. Huh? Did you ever go tell the boss that? Well, don't tell the preacher that. Am I coming through in Holy Land today?
Yes.
Come on, folks. It's time to get ready for our future. We're not living in this world forever. They're not voting on my future. He alone is going to judge everyone. I wish you'd seen your grandson. Sir, I promise you, you'd be glad for every dollar you've done. I never forget one day he looked at me and said, Pastor, I love giving my tithes, and I just wish there was more of it, because he knows he gets to keep 90% of it. Born again. That's not something you got to do. And the book says Jerusalem is our mother, which is the mother of us all. It's in the book of Galatians. First 14 months you was on the earth, you sure didn't speak Spanish. Anybody here can speak Spanish? Say hallelujah. No, in Spanish. Gloria a Dios. I don't think that means it. I see it. Is anybody here can speak Spanish? Brother Price, are you raising your hand? No, you're just putting your arm around and getting closer to her right now. Getting tough in here, isn't it? I don't know how to say it, but I'm going to tell you what, you didn't speak French either. Brother Don, I know you can speak a little French. How do you say hallelujah in French? That's right. It's the only word that is spoken the same way in every language. Somebody say it in German. Somebody say it in French. That means I give it all. I wish we'd tell him again. I love you. Thank you, God, for not turning the light off and just because the world's getting dark. Thank you for not getting discouraged just because so many are discouraged. Thank you for not getting down and out with us because we've disobeyed you so many times. Thank you for not giving up because we've walked in our own light so many times. Thank you today, God, because you still got a light on in Paris, Texas. The unadulterated word, the Holy Ghost and fire, holiness, godliness, revival, glory clouds, led by the Spirit. Oh, God, I thank you today. It's still alive. That's enough room for you to shout. You don't have to have another feeling in the world. All you got to do is know he's alive, and that ought to be enough room for you to stand and praise his name with a loud hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the name. Thank you. Our future is greater now because in the last days, the prophecy of the last days, when evil men wax worse and worse, do you think that's happening? You're going to follow that more than you're going to follow that in those same last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your kids are going to start prophesying. Your kids are going to start dreaming dreams, and your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to see visions. I'm going to tell you something. Is it true that right now nation is against nation? That was in prophecy. Along beside that prophecy, in the last days, said Zechariah, there's going to be a light turned on, and it's going to turn into the oneness of God, and my name shall be one. And then he said, the last thing that's going to happen, the bells on the horses, chapter 14 of Zechariah, and there's going to be holiness unto the Lord. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you give it up now. Don't you quit it now. I'm here to preach to you today that the same book that tells us how bad the last days are going to get tells us how great it's going to get for his people. It's going to be glorious, joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's going to feed them, hallelujah, in the middle of the bear and the lion. I'm here to tell you, our future is more important than anything going on. Often a short consultation with the past can help us. In his letter to the body of believers at Philippi, Paul in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 15, said, brethren, I can't even read this without thinking. How many of you do understand this man is the one that wrote most of the New Testament? Most of that writing came while he was behind prison walls. I'll never forget what my sister-in-law said just a few weeks ago. My youngest nephew and my brother's family was being incarcerated. And you got to know Charlotte to understand what I'm saying. But Charlotte, well, when my brother was trying to tell her the word, I got to tell you a little more than I was going to tell you. My brother was trying to tell her how great God is and all that, and how that he's going to have to pay the price for some of what he did. And she said, well, I can't forget what you were like when I was first married to you. And I've shared a little bit of that with you, probably more than I should have. But I want you to know my family has lived in a real world. I want you to understand that I know a whole lot. Just pastoring alone is enough to drive a guy crazy if he didn't have the light of the world living in his office, in his bedchamber. I cannot tell you the nights over some of our kids. I'm not going to beleaguer you with that. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because I'm telling you, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I live with that promise every day I live. But for Charlotte to say this, she said to me, she said, Bob, I want to tell you, I have watched him on drugs. I have watched him do things that I never would have believed my son would do. And she said, I tell you, my hope is that by putting him in earthly confinement, that God can speak to him. I got a call from him 3 weeks after he'd been incarcerated. He said, Uncle Bob, I've got to tell you something. God's doing in my life what I would not let him do when I was outside. God is working in my life. What every prayer mother prayed for me is working in my life. And I thank God she came to that faith so the liberty of the Spirit could give my nephew future. I don't care what your children, your family, your brother, your sister's going through. Listen to me. There's hope in him. That is hope in him. In him alone there's hope. We are the church of hope. We ought to offer to everybody on the street. I don't care what you're going through, sir. I don't care what you're going through, husband. I don't care what you're going through, wife. Every one of our homes have been attacked by hell. Your marriage has. has. And hallelujah, the only thing that will get you through it is a little hope. But start responding to the word, and your marriage will come back together. Your family, child, your child parent relationship will come back together. There's hope in the word. There's hope in the Holy Ghost. There's faith in the word. There's faith in the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to somebody today. You came here hurting, and God is going to heal your heart. He's going to heal your mind. He's going to put faith back where it belongs. He's going to put hope down where trouble has been living. I wish you'd pray. You don't have any idea what's going on beside somebody. Let's find somebody right now. Let's stand to our feet right now and pray one for another. Pray. I don't care if your heart's hurting. Pray for somebody. Let them pray for you. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus all over this house. You listen to me. We're standing together. We're not going on the other side of the world. We're standing together through this thing. Your life may be a disappointment to you, but today you got brothers and sisters that are going to stand with you. That's it. Bible said the effectual fervent prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're in the book today. We're going to fight. It's worth fighting for. We're not going to church to see how cute we can look. We're not going to church to see how easy we can make it on ourselves. This is fighting the good fight of faith. We're putting it in gear, sweetheart. We're moving forward. This church is not just going to be a memory. It's going to be a future for somebody. I don't want my kids growing up in false doctrine. I wish somebody say, preach the word. I don't want my kids growing up in some haphazard, careless fashion. Somebody say, preach the word. That's what we got to do. Don't you let that preacher go sick. I mean, I might not be here more than 30 more years, but don't you get it in your heart. We can just go on past on the Pastor Meyer. No. I'm telling you, when I leave, God's got a replacement that will do better than I've ever done. He's got somebody already lined up that'll lead your kids as long as we keep it Holy Ghost and fire, as long as we keep a love for the word, a love for truth alive in this assembly. He'll make sure there's somebody in the pulpit to feel that. Our trust is not in Pastor Meyer, much as I wish it were. Our trust is in him. And I don't preach me. I preach him. Because I want your faith to have a future. No, we're not going to sing the songs like we used to. I don't want God having to say forever that the church never caught the vision of the world. It's on another frame and I don't have time to go there. But listen to me. Whatever education you get, I don't care if it's nothing, but he that believeth on me, that's above where you used to live. And then, if you understand the blessing of prayer, that's wonderful. But he didn't say, because you said I believe in him, and because you said I know there's some great stuff out there. He said, but walk ye in the truth. And I don't know of anybody that's been on this earth except Melchizedek. And you got to go a long way back to find him that was perfect among men, except Jesus. Following Jesus has no place to stop until you get through the graveyard. I know it makes all of us mad to get woke up when we enjoy sleep. I know it upsets us, but you listen to this final thing. If you let the devil convince you, and he's tried to convince me, my own dad, I lived in dad's house, dad provided food for us, dad provided vacations, dad provided a ton of stuff. But there were times the devil came in and made me think Dad didn't love me. And if the devil can convince you that the pastor don't love you, you're going to be sidelined from the victory. Because your ears will close. If you get to thinking that the preacher's attacking you with truth and not opening a door in your world, you'll stop receiving the word. You'll start being discretionary. It's time for us to open our ears to the voice of the Spirit. Learn what the Spirit is saying to the church. And God is calling us to our future. I'll never be a perfect preacher. I am more aware of that than you. But I preach a perfect Christ. And I preach truths that open doors for every future. I don't care where you are today, this altar's open. And we're going to remove the last cricket I see. He can't pray through. I've got a cricketer up here getting them all. He missed that one. But I want you to get your faith right now in the hand of Jesus. And I want you, whatever you're going through, I don't care if you stay down here just a minute, whatever you're going through, I want you to bring it to the altar. And here's what the book said. Casting all of your cares upon Him. Because the next step He turns you against the preacher, He'll turn you against the word of the Lord. And today, lost kids are going to have a chance because we're bringing our cares to the altar. Our city is going to have a chance. I am truly believing that every church in this city is going to preach Jesus' name, holiness, godliness, righteousness, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost by being born again. Crowd in close, if you would, so to make room for everybody. And the singers are singing. You don't have